Kelly's Westport Inn presents The Royal Man Report with Casey Royalman.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
Michael Engel.
We actually said during the interview that we consider Michael Engel to be our Scott Drew of our program.
Jeff Herr.
And Chris Kamler, who is the producer of The Royal Man Report.
Sorry, Troy.
Music by 49 Stones and Andre and the Giants. And now, The Royal Man Report.
Which is this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane.
And welcome into The Royal Man Report, midweek edition. I'm Chris Kamler, and last weekend I spent some time with the Omaha Storm Chasers. I'm going to bring you some extended interviews today with several members of the club as well as front office folks, and some sound also from Yahoo.com's Lee Warren. Our first interview is one I had with Marty Cordero, the general manager of the Storm Chasers. Like all minor league managers, his responsibilities are more of a stadium operations and marketing perspective than they are player development. But I did have a chance to talk with him about the second year in Warner Park, how the team is marketed, and some of the tremendous talent they are seeing this year. The Storm Chasers are comfortably in first place after the first month of the season and have won 5 walk-offs at home, losing only 2 of their first 18 games there. Here's my 10-minute interview with Marty Cordero from earlier this week. Tell me a little bit about Warner Park. It's obviously in its first year. You've shaken it down already. You've gotten the bugs out of it. What do you like best about this facility?
Well, you know, for us, I've been here in Omaha with the AAA club since late 06. And then after a year being assistant GM, my first year's GM was 08. One of the things that I realized we really needed to do was educate people on what minor league baseball had become since the early to mid-90s, where you've had now, I believe the number's now 128 new ballparks since 94. It's a lot. And then when you start to take a look at teams now having local names and their own local nicknames, I think it's around 115 teams have new nicknames since the same time frame. So being in Omaha, being in Nebraska, there are very few to no affiliated clubs really within a day's driving distance just to go to a game and then come back to the metro area, other than Des Moines. And they have an older ballpark, concessions are underneath. So for us, we took the first year last year in 11 really focusing on showing people what Warner Park and what minor league baseball was, because all we did was really talk about it in 08 and 9 and 10. It took us 3 years to try to, you know, to educate people. Last year was really showing people, and that's really been the beauty of this place is people walk in and they say, oh, I get it. I get the fact. I get the fact of why they couldn't play in a 24,000-seat stadium or why that doesn't work for minor league baseball. And the cool thing about it is with minor league baseball, though, it's big league talent. I mean, you look at Hosmer, Moustakas, Tim Collins, and all down the list, and now most recently, thank goodness, fan favorite Irving Falou, a lifelong, not a journeyman because he's been with the Royals his entire career, but you know, a lifelong minor league journeyman. And it's great to see these guys realize their dreams. And you know, Kansas City, I just feel, is just so close to really putting it all together. And it's really exciting to see them doing it now in a real minor league ballpark here at Warner Park.
Falou kind of snuck up on us. He was part of that advancement a few weeks ago, and we were like, we don't know. Nobody really, he wasn't one of the names, right? And so he came up, and he's very quickly, hey, wait a second, there's that guy, yeah. So we're starting to be a fan of him.
Sometimes guys just need a chance. Yeah. Just need a chance. And you were talking about Clint Robinson earlier today. What another great guy. He won our inaugural Johnny Rosenblatt Community Service Award. He does so many player appearances and hospital appearances and things here in the Omaha community. But he hits. He hits and he hits and he hits some more. He, you know, was so integral in the championship last year as the Chasers won their first league title since 1990. You know, he's another guy that just needs a chance. And, of course, when you have Butler and Hosmer in front of him, I know it's going to be a tough road for him in Kansas City system. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the minors. All they need to do is be given a chance.
We talked to him about that last week, and we asked him a couple of questions, and he gave all the right answers. But what do you think his attitude has been, being effectively blocked by two guys who are going to be in the system for a while?
Well, it hasn't impacted his performance, yeah. You know, and it didn't impact Johnny Giovatella's performance when everyone, including Johnny, expected to be in Kansas City at the beginning of the year. But, you know, Kansas City and their decision makers had other plans for that. Johnny came here and, you know, he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but after the first 10 days, he was on fire up until the time he got called up. So I would tell you, you look at the club's record, you look at the number of guys that have gone to the big leagues, and really, that lies squarely on the shoulders of Mike Gerschle, and then obviously Tommy Gregg, and then and Doug Henry as well as a pitching coach. But really, it all starts with Gersh. I mean, really, the tempo and his no-nonsense attitude, and everyone has to play hard every day, whether you're in the lineup or not. You have to be prepared. Everybody needs to know how to bunt. Everybody needs to know how to bunt and run, hit and run. There are so many things that they get and learn playing for Gersh. I really think his attitude is what really keeps guys like a Clint Robinson or like a Johnny Giovitella, who, of course, they're disappointed. They're professionals. They want to be in the majors. You know, they don't want to be in the minors the rest of their career. But I think Gersh sets that tempo that you play hard and you do things the right way. Eventually, good things are going to come to you. Good things are going
to
come.
Now, talk to me a little bit about Mike Montgomery. He's been kind of a puzzle for us fans in Kansas City. George Brett came out with some very strong comments about him a few weeks ago. Where do you think he's at? He's posted some good performances the last few weeks. Tell me a little bit about him.
You know, not being a player personnel guy, and I'll never pretend to be that, and nor will I pretend to be a decision maker in Kansas City system. But you know, I think with Mike, some of it may just be maturity issue, and I don't mean that he's immature, but maturity on the baseball field. And I think some players develop at different rates. You know, it takes some players longer than others, and some it takes less time than you would expect. And I think with Mike, you know, he's still on a good path, and you know, he's still a very young age, and he obviously has talent. But with him, you know, maybe it's just getting enough reps and getting enough innings pitched, you know, in the minors while he's developing. And, you know, sometimes, again, you need a chance. But for him, it's about consistency, I think. And I think when he develops that consistency, instead of having a good game, a challenging game, two good games, two challenging games, or vice versa, I think for him, he will earn that chance at the big leagues when he develops more consistency.
And you got a couple of kids that are just up, Will Myers and Jake Odorizzi, who are, and not being a player personnel guy, but what does that do to maybe the marketing of the club when your roster is always shifting? You lost Johnny Giovitella, you lost a whole, pitchers are coming up and down all the time. Do you just market the experience then, Warner Park, or do you try to market some of those players?
Chris, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we always say in our business, and not this isn't just Omaha local, this is minor league baseball, we know we don't control the weather, and we know we don't control the baseball. So we really need to make sure our ballparks are family-friendly venues. They're clean, they're well-lit, they're safe, they're easily accessible. It's affordable, but at the same time, it's fun, and sometimes it is hokey, and we do promotions that are a little risky in nature and may not be traditional, out-of-the-box, old-school, we're going to do a hat giveaway tonight type promotions. And for us, that's really what it's about. And then when you are partnered with our great friends, the Kansas City Royals, and you see the talent like a Will Myers and like a Giovitella and all the other guys that are coming through the system, that kind of completes the perfect circle, because last year in the first year, and I will use a pun, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
New ballpark, new branding, new attitude, new players, you know, it is crazy talent. And the reality is we started seeing that talent in 2010 when we only missed the playoffs by one game, as we saw Moustakas, Tim Collins, and some of those other guys that were coming through. And Alex Gordon obviously found his new position and was making his way back. And, you know, I think the beginning for us was 2010, but last year it all happened at the same time, and we're very optimistic about the rest of 2012. And you never know. You never know what happens again. You know, Sacramento and Oakland have had great runs in the Pacific Coast League for the last 8 or 9 years. You know, I think that Kansas City has a number of players, and, you know, they're going to continue to scout and develop players like they have. It's an exciting time to be the AAA affiliate for Kansas City.
We hope it gets up very, very fast. We talked to Clint Robinson last week, and he mentioned, as far as marketing goes, the year of the walk-off. You guys have had 5 walk-offs, and after we had talked to him, Sacramento had 2 walk-offs against the Storm Chasers. That's got to be pretty interesting to see that you come into your office every night and watch.
Oh, it really is. It's amazing. The walk-offs that have happened, again, not only for us, but against us this year. It has been crazy. And as we sit here today on Friday afternoon, what's today, May 18th, you know, our record at home going in to last night, we had won 14 games in a row at home. We're now 15-2. After losing last night 3-2. It's a great home record. You know, the fans here, they know, you know, the talent that's here, and they know how hard the guys are playing at home and how much they enjoy the fan support. And, you know, it is an interesting year. But I don't know, you're the walk-off? That is quite interesting.
It's nice.
It is nice.
Another one-run game last night. I got two more questions for you. Let's see. Tell me a little bit about your day-to-day. You said you're not a player development guy. You're obviously in charge of everything else. Is there a normal day? I asked Eric last week. He said he hasn't had a normal standard day, you know, yet. He's been with the organization how long? But you know, what's a normal day for you?
A normal day is not having a normal day. I mean, honestly, you know, we've got a great staff here, and two great assistant general managers, and Lord Schlender and Rob Crane. They do a great job of keeping the staff on task, and really kind of what my job has evolved in. And it really started when, are we going to stay in the Omaha area or are we not? After we formed a partnership with Sarpy County, and then, you know, I led the stadium construction and the design and making sure this place opened and open to success, is really now about continuing that and developing new relationships in the community. And, you know, for us, we always say there's 850,000-900,000 people in the Omaha metro area. We had almost 425,000 fans this past year that came to Storm Chaser games. Several of them came multiple times. There are a lot of folks out there that still need to be introduced to what minor league baseball is. And really that's my job on a grand scale, is to make sure we're continuing to market to new people, and where we have challenges, making sure we attack those challenges. And because we don't want our fans to have to come out here to work for fun. You know, we want them to come out here and have fun. We want them to have a nine-inning vacation, not have to sit out here and you know, have a challenge and having fun. And that's something we do take very seriously. And, you know, we meet every single day. If it's a night game, it's around 1 o'clock. If it's a day game, we meet around 8 o'clock in the morning. We review what we did poorly the night before, what we did good the night before, where our challenges are. And we change things on a day-by-day basis. We don't wait till the end of a year. And that's something we take very seriously in our effort for fans to come out and have fun.
All right, last question. I asked Eric Edelstein in Northwest Arkansas one thing that I could not walk out of the park without seeing or experiencing, and he came up with something called their funnel dog, which is a funnel. Well, you probably had one, but a hot dog wrapped around a funnel cake. Now, what is one thing here at brand new Warner Park that I cannot leave the next couple days without seeing or experiencing?
Well, I'm going to give you three food items. Three food items. The Reuben is from Omaha. It's invented in Omaha. So we have a specialty Reuben cart right behind home plate, behind section 112. You need to make sure you try a Reuben. There's three different types. Make sure you try one. The shredded chicken nachos at La Mesa are fantastic. And we have a new promotion this year called Eat Your Opponent. And at the primary hot dog stand, which is called Hot Dog Nation, right behind home plate, now that we're playing Tacoma, there's a specialty dog that features toppings that are Northwest, that are Tacoma, that are that part of the country. So you'll need to try one of those. And they're great. I didn't have one last night. The last time I had one, when Nashville was in, it was a hot dog with pulled pork and coleslaw on it. And I'm not a big coleslaw fan, but tell you what, I was that night. It was tremendous. So from a food perspective, if we're going to go up with the funnel dog, and I haven't had one of those yet. I'll have to make my way down and have one. Other than that, it's seeing the bottoms up beer system, which the beer flows from the bottom out at the Budweiser downdraft. That'd be something to watch and see, as well as all of the other kids' activities that are here at the ballpark, with the carousel, the basketball court, the wiffle ball field, and the fun zone, and everything else that's here.
So for folks from Kansas City looking for a summer vacation and, you know, a couple of days up at the ballpark, you'd certainly recommend they come up and visit you guys.
Oh, definitely. You know, this is a great area to have fun. You know, the zoo is the – whoever ranks zoos has ranked the Henry Dorley Zoo as a third-rated zoo in the world. And it's a great venue. So, you know, you could come up on a Friday night, get in, eat, get settled in your hotel, go to the zoo Saturday, come to a Storm Chasers game Saturday night, get up and do a few things on Sunday. All of our Sunday games are 2:05. Catch a 2:05 game, and then you're back home by 9 o'clock in the Kansas City area. You can make a great weekend out of it, and you know, we'd love to help people and answer some of those questions if they'd like to, you know, give us a call or visit our website at OmahaStormChasers.com for sure.
Marty, thanks. Hey Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkaufman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. That was an interview I had this weekend with Marty Cordero, the general manager of the Storm Chasers. Next, we have an interview with Tommy Hotovy, a friend of the program and Kansas City native who got his cup of coffee with the Royals already this year. I pitched pretty well when he was with the team and has done well since returning to Omaha. Tommy talks to me about his experience with the Royals, hitting the first batter he faced in Kauffman Stadium, and what he needs to focus on to get back to Kansas City. Here now, my brief interview with Tommy Hotovy.
Tell me about your time in Kansas City.
It was an awesome time. Obviously, it's when I signed here, obviously the hope is to be in the big leagues with the team, but to get an opportunity to do it, this early in the season, and it was just something I was real excited for, and obviously with all my family and friends, and all these people I went to high school with coming out to see it, it was just an awesome opportunity, and something that I can't really describe other than it was just real exciting, and I really enjoyed it.
The story about you being a kid and not getting to throw out the first pitch during your graduation, that was getting told the day you came up, and So what did the first pitch on the Kauffman Stadium mound feel like?
It felt great, and a lot of people will, ask me, how exciting it was for me to make my debut last year. But for me, making my debut was awesome, but still I think just be able to throw that first pitch in Kauffman meant so much more just because of how much I, went there, as a kid, and I grew up at that ballpark, and just get the opportunity just felt great, and obviously I was really pumped up, and then, to face Granderson too, a guy that's, obviously a pretty good hitter, it was pretty sweet.
Now, did you get any ribbing from the team for hitting your first batter?
No, they were, Ned, when he came out and took me out of the game, he's like, welcome back to the big leagues, and then I just said, hey, I just set the tone. No lefty's really going to want to stand in the box with me, if I come up here and hit the first guy I face. But obviously I was just a little jacked up, and they were all kind of getting on me a little bit. But, I got out of that situation and, just move on.
So they sent you down 10 days later, and they're moving a lot of guys up and down. What is that like to be on a pitching staff where guys are always shifting and you're working to get back up there again? What is that like?
As much as we've been moving and stuff, it's pretty common with a lot of teams, especially this time of the year, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have situations come up where they're going to have to make move. And when you have guys like myself that have options, and we have, Mazzaro, Adcock, Coleman, all these guys that have options, you know it's going to happen, eventually, just because that's just the way it is. But for us, we just have to stay focused on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And obviously for me, my goal as I go out there every night is going to be to get lefties out. And as long as I keep focused on that, managing the righties as I get through the lineups, but focus on that, I know there's going to be opportunities where they're going to need me. There's teams, especially in our division, the Indians, have 7-8 lefties that could be in the lineup every night. So, when those matchups come around, there's a good opportunity for me to help out the ball club. And then, it's just, you got to take it week to week and see what the team needs. But again, you can't get caught up in all the, I'm getting sent up, I'm getting sent down, because a lot of the time it's not because you're doing bad. It's just because hey, we got to have this in our bullpen. We got to have this as a starter. We need to make a move. That's just the way it kind of is.
They officially announced Danny Duffy's going to go have the surgery done, and you're a veteran of that surgery. What's running through his mind right now, and what does he have to do to get back to the major league?
You know, the biggest thing is to understand the process and not be like, I'm going to be the guy that's going to be back in 6 months. It is a process, and you can't rush it. You can't be the first guy ever to make it back in 5 months. You have to take the time. And the biggest thing for me for guys like that is stay in the game, stay mentally in the game, because it's easy to flip the switch off for 9-10 months, and then, go through all the workouts and everything, but you're not in the game, and then all of a sudden you can't expect it after a year off to just flip the switch and be back in. You have to just stay focused and, really use the time that you're at the field to stay in the games and be mentally ready, but also just, take it slow with the physical stuff.
How is the team using you now? Are they still using you as a situation role, or are they stretching you out at all?
Well, I've kind of done a little bit of everything here. I've gone up to, three innings, in a game where we had extra innings. I threw two innings again the other day, and then there was a game I threw a third of an inning. So I'm going to be a guy that's going to come in different situations. But they're going to try and use me in late inning type situations where I could face lefties, or, even a possible save situation, or if, 7, 8, 9th inning when, we got lefties coming up, runners on, that kind of thing. And that's the goal. Obviously, it's not always going to work out the way you want, especially here in the minor leagues, but I just have to be ready for every opportunity I get, and again, just keep focusing on getting those lefties out.
One of the articles I'm writing for the paper is about the ballpark and folks coming up from Kansas City. What do you like about this ballpark?
It's a gorgeous park. Obviously, as a pitcher, you don't like the wind blowing out 30 miles an hour, but it's just it's really neat. They've got a lot of different type of things here. Obviously, for the fans, they can walk around the whole stadium. They've got some stuff out in center. They got some stuff down the left field line for kids, and it's really neat. And then you got the dimensions. The outfield's got a weird kind of design, kind of curves in and then goes to a point. It's got some pretty neat stuff. But the thing I like about it, they didn't go overboard trying to say, hey, we're going to fit 15,000 people here. They made it intimate. They put it close to the field. I think they did a lot of things the right way, and the fans really love it. And even if we get 6,000-7,000 people, it feels like it's packed, and I think that's makes the atmosphere a lot better, and the fans get to enjoy it a lot more.
Get back to Kansas City soon, man. Thank you very much for your time.
After a long day, you can only go so far.
Callies,
you work hard to make the moment right.
Callies,
you grind it out to make that time your
Callies.
You pound the pavement only to find you're getting close.
Callies.
You find the peak, and the peak finds you.
Callies.
When you find the time, and she finds the time, make it Callies.
Callies.
Kelly's Westport Inn can cause intimate moments and can also cause members of the opposite sex to appear more or less attractive than they actually are. You should speak to a doctor before attempting Kelly's Westport Inn, as the results might be marriage, children, or a one-night stand. Or it might just involve having some beers with your friends, eating some pizza, and watching the games on TV. I don't know. I talk pretty fast.
Kelly's Westport Inn. You know when.
Kelly's.
Tell them you came for the Royal Man Report.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report, midweek edition. We're talking Omaha Storm Chasers in this edition, as I just completed a trip up there for an article I am writing for the Platte County Landmark about Warner Park. It is a really great stadium. I put it far above Community America and just below the Kauffman Experience. We're going to talk about what's going on the field now with two post-game interviews I conducted following a 5-4 win on May 18th versus Tacoma. Jake Odorizzi, just called up from the AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals, pitched 6 2/3 in his AAA debut with 4 strikeouts and only 1 walk. His fastball topped out at 95, and he had both his curveballs working very well in the outing. Jake plans to figure in the Royals' future, if not in September, then definitely in 2013. Here's the post-game interview with Jake Odorizzi, followed by a post-game interview with Storm Chasers manager Mike Gershley. Don't forget to catch the regular Royal Man Report on Sunday nights live at 7 o'clock, and the new Kansas City Baseball Vault from the creators of the Royal Man Report and the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society on Thursdays at 6 p.m. on ESPN 1510 AM. You can catch any of these shows as we podcast everything we do right here on RoyalManReport.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Here's my interviews with Jake Odorizzi and Mike Gershley, along with the other voice, Rob White, of the Omaha World Herald. Thanks for listening, and go Royals.
First inning, Triple A.
That was all right. I mean, it could have been better, obviously. I left some pitches up, and the home run was my fault. Take complete blame for that, and then, you know, made some good pitches when I needed to. I had a lot of runners on base and scoring position. That's what I was most happy about, was that kept up the scoreboard, leadoff double. First and second, nobody out, and we got out of it. So that's what I was most happy about. I mean, just had to go out there and battle with guys on base, and that's always a good thing when you can get them out and, you know, they don't score and give our team a bigger hole.
Do you see any difference between the Double-A and Triple-A batters?
There's a little bit of difference. I mean, everyone has a better approach. They lay off, you know, the close pitches. They know the strike zone well. And just advanced hitters, not as big a jump as from high A to Double-A. But, you know, you can tell a difference. But I think I just went out there and, you know, pitched like I was pitching down there and didn't get away from what my approach is.
How about the wind? Did you change your approach at all because of the howling wind out there?
No, I mean, you can't do that just because the wind's blowing. And you start doing that, you get outside your game. You either start walking people, give up, you know, hits you wouldn't normally give up, and, you know, pitch the way you normally don't want to. And like I said, the wind's just a factor. It blows some days, it doesn't blow, so you can't really change your approach just because of the wind blowing out.
The home run pitch was up.
I think it was 2-2, slider. Yep. I was wanting to get it, you know, on top of the plate, and he just tried overthrowing a little bit, hung it, and, you know, he put a good swing on it, which, you know, that's up here, that's going to happen a lot. But, you know, you got to be a little bit more fine. But other than that, I mean, I thought everything went pretty well.
So you and Will drove up together?
Yeah, he left like an hour before I did, and then
okay. We
got there, and we got settled into our apartment today.
So he was ahead of you?
Yeah, he beat me by an hour.
Okay, gotcha.
He left just a little bit earlier than I did, but...
Gotcha.
Nope, we got up here, we're all settling roommates, so, you know, it's nice up here, I enjoy it, so hopefully that just means good things to come for, you know, both of us and the team. I mean, they're, I would say they always win at home, so I was glad we got to pull the W out today and, you know, keep that streak going.
Does it make it easier at all that, I mean, having played with Will for a little while, you come up here and at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to come up with somebody, especially, you know, one of your friends and one of the guys that have been doing well down there. And it's nice to, you know, take the journey with somebody, and especially a teammate. So it's why I get to, you know, enjoy watching him play down here, and now I get the pleasure of watching him again up here and just, you know, just watch how his career progresses the same as mine. So it's kind of nice going through the same thing with somebody.
Does it help? I mean, because you guys obviously there's so much expectations on you two. Does it help that you're kind of together? That you're kind of making a move together? That's not
done. Not separate.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, if it helps, but I mean, like I said, it's certainly nice to be going through the same thing with somebody, and you know, you got things to talk about. You can, you know, talk. He's new to this league. I'm new to this league. You know, there's going to be an adjustment period for both of us, and you know, that's what we're there for. I mean, feedback on each other. We talk about the games and. Go after it the next day.
You were pitching well down there, obviously. I mean, did you feel like? I mean, did you start looking up and thinking maybe you'd move up, or did you just kind of wait till they say it's time to go?
Just kind of see, wait until it's time to go. I mean, I knew the circumstances up here with, you know, Duffy getting hurt and everything, and I was just, you know, I wasn't going to expect anything. That's, you know, that's the worst thing you can do is expect something and then you have to earn it. So it's just. It was nice to be able to think that, you know, for them to think that I'm ready for up here, and it's a new challenge, and, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to having, you know, having new things come to me up here. Just about, you know, up here you have to learn how to pitch more, so it's just like a, you know, continue of advancement in your career.
Did you say that the jump from high A hitters to Double A was bigger than the jump from Double A to Triple A?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's once you adapt to Double A, it's everything's, you know, they always say that's the biggest jump, and I would agree with it. It's you know, you get away with a lot of things at high that you don't at Double A, and then you know how, you know, you kind of relearn how to pitch. Thanks. And then once you, you know, learn to figure out Double A, you know how to get guys out. It's just a big confidence booster. And then you go up here, and you just keep doing the same things you do. And what made you successful down there, you just want to continue to do up here. So I think you just pitch the same way, and there's not really that big of a jump where you have to change a lot of things a lot of the time.
Do you think they caught up to your fastball a little bit in the last couple innings? I mean, that the curveball was still really wicked, but they started to kind of hit the last two innings.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, that's what good hitting teams do. 3-4 times through the lineup, they're going to start, you know, keying on the fastball a little bit and being able to catch up to it. But, you know, I thought I located it pretty well. They didn't put too many solid swings on the ball. Look at that. That's my hometown drink.
Nice. I'll explain in a second.
All right, appreciate it. No, it's from a town not far from where I live from. So it's a local Illinois thing.
How'd that get?
I don't know. He said he's gonna explain it to me later. But but I forgot what the question was. Now I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's all good. How about that? It seemed like maybe in the middle of innings a little bit. Looked like your curveball started working pretty well.
Yeah, I got a few strikeouts with my curveball, and it was nice to, you know, throw that up there, and especially up here, you gotta be able to throw everything. And that helped me a lot. They, you know, got him off the fastball for a while, made him think about the curveball, and you know, complemented the slider and changeup too. So I used everything when I had to, and like, oh, I remember the fastball thing now. Yeah, that was it. That was it. But no, I mean, like I said, any good hitting team, three times through the lineup, they're going to start getting you on your fastball. But I was throwing it, you know, majority of the time where I wanted to, and they weren't putting. It wasn't hard hit a lot of the times. The one hard hit ball was the home run, and. I was happy with that. I mean, I was happy with my control. I just need to be down a little bit more.
As a winning pitcher, is that your music that you get to pick, or who's picking the Pink Floyd?
I don't know who did that. Somebody's just in there playing whatever they want. I'm new here, so I don't. God, I'm not controlling that.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, what'd you think about the new guys on the mound?
I thought his stuff was good. You know, he left a couple of fastballs up that they hit, but other than that, I thought stuff wise he threw the ball well. Thought he pitched in good and just needs to continue to do that. Move his fastball around, and then his off speed stuff is plenty good.
He had a botched play, I think, in the second with one of the pitcher covering first things. You guys were actually working on that early in drills today. What went through your mind when that happened?
Well, the thing that was by him, first of all, he was out. I think he was out. They said he was out, but the umpire missed it. But, you know, what messed it up was Clint went to get it, and then he started coming back, and that screwed up everything because that sort of messes up with the pitcher thinking that he's getting back, and then all of a sudden he's not, and then he's there. And then, you know, so to me that a lot had to do with if Clint just stays home there, he's out, and it's an easy out. And Odorizzi was there and ended up, he did hit the bag and caught the ball and hit the bag, and the umpire called him safe.
Looked like he got into a groove, kind of threw some good curveballs kind of after the home run. I mean, he said breaking balls were good enough, so pretty impressive young guy with that kind of command.
Yeah, I was real impressed with what he did. Like I said, he just left a couple fastballs up that got hit. They were straight and got hit, and, you know, when you do that as you move up, they hit those balls. You know, you might get away with it sometimes at a lower level, but and he realizes that, and he knows he's got to be able to throw his off-speed stuff over and be able to command the fastball.
Will Myers 3-for-4 tonight, homer away from the cycle. Does that overshadow the pop-up where he was in the batter's box when it was caught?
You got to remind me of that. I get my blood pressure up or what? But. First thing he did was the first thing he did was apologize for it, and you know, he still gets fined because he's just like anybody else. When you hit the ball up in the air like that, and I think what really messed him up was just the way the wind was blowing, and it shouldn't, because you know, he's playing in the outfield and everybody knows how the wind's blowing. So, you know, he just got frustrated there, I think, and felt it was further away in foul territory, but it came back. And catcher almost did drop it, and that would have really been embarrassing.
What do you think of his performance tonight, beside the miscue?
Well, I'll take that every night from Will. But you know what? I mean, he looks like he's been playing here all year, and he just seems that comfortable. And the ball he hit to right, he hit that ball hard. I think the wind knocked that down even a little bit. But and he gets three bases on it after it didn't roll that far away, you know. So the guy can run, too, and, you know, he turned that into a triple. Yeah, it was good to see. You know, it was good to see David come up with that big hit off the lefty down left field line. And, you know, Abreu, of course, scoring from first base. So, I mean, you know, Clint, of course, didn't swing at the greatest tonight. Got in on him a few times, but he got just enough of it to get it over the infield in, and you know, that's all we needed really to get going.
How about the pitching in the ninth inning? You went lefty lefty for the last two guys. Seemed to work.
Yeah, it did. You know, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I just felt, you know, Jeffress was throwing the ball good. You know, if he makes that first play of the inning, the comebacker, we're out of there. But we got to that point, and I didn't want him to make a mistake. And then, you know, I kicked myself for not coming. I had the lefty up in the bullpen ready to go, and Bueno was ready. So I felt we had to go get him with the lefty.
They tell me it kind of howls out here all the time, but last night was really bad, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, and you know what? It's not fun for either team playing and win like that, but, you know, it changes the whole complex of the game. I mean, you're right-handers, you're keeping the ball away. Left-handers, you're keeping the ball in. So, I tell you what, the pitchers still have to do their thing out there and just go at hitters, and, you know, that can tend to get guys in trouble because you're trying to be too fine because you don't want to make that mistake, but learn how to pitch real quick when you have winning like that.